Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And we have to say, first and foremost, congratulations to both Manchester sides. The FA Cup final is now decided. Manchester City versus Manchester United. How are we feeling about a Manchester derby for the FA Cup final?
Be excited. What happened there?
Don't know. Frog in your throat?
Frog in my throat. The exciting game when it derbies in a final is always good. Can't help but feel for Brighton, though. Going out on pens is rubbish.
And our FPL favourite, Solly March, as well. The one that somebody has to miss. It's horrible, isn't it? Somebody's got to take the penalty that misses. It's a nightmare, right?
It very much felt like someone was going to miss it rather than a keeper was going to save one as well,
I think we know from previous Manchester United penalty shootouts that Dave does not necessarily save many penalty kicks, does he? So, unfortunately, Solly had to be the one that missed. Couple of decent semi-finals. So I think City, in the end, thanks to Mahrez, class kind of bore out. Although, to be fair, they had a couple of chances, didn't they, first half? They could have won. Could have got something from that game.
Interesting comments from Mahrez as well, wasn't there, about why he took the penalties and how they're sharing them.
Yes.
And it'll be Haaland's turn next time. But he felt it this time, so he took it.
That was interesting, wasn't it? Because Haaland was on the pitch as Mahrez was taking the penalty. So, interesting one. Yeah, interesting. So, keep an eye on that one. But, yeah, so Manchester City versus Manchester United. Going to be a good derby, definitely. But that is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the football this weekend. We have got so much to discuss. Guys, there's been a lot of variance with the scores this week as well. If you played your free hit, and both of us did play our free hits, and we'll be talking about how our free hits, whether they were free hits or free misses, whether they were good, whether they were bad, whether they're successful, not successful. We'll talk about that a bit later on. But loads of football to discuss from the weekend that we've just seen. Not least one of my favourite games so far this season on Friday night. The Arsenal game was absolutely sensational. Top versus bottom, Southampton versus Arsenal. I must admit, for the first sort of 20 to 25 minutes, I didn't watch it. Why didn't I watch it?
Because I wasn't here and you were putting the kids to bed.
That's right. You weren't here. You were out and about, weren't you, Friday? You'd gone to the theatre. So I was like, right, I was in charge of putting the kids to bed. As soon as I'd done that, it was about 20 minutes gone in the Arsenal game. I looked at my phone. I thought, oh, no fantasy football fix notifications. Can't it be? It's supposed to be 0-0. Put Sky on. It's like, Saints 2-0. I could not believe that scoreline. So we've got to talk about that game in a bit as well, in the context of FPL. I'm afraid we do have to talk about your lot from today as well, because that was an absolutely shambolic display. Pleased to see you got the shirt still on, I'll be honest. Pleased to see it still there, because if that was me, I would not be wearing that shirt. It was terrible today from Spurs. We'll talk about Liverpool as well, because we've got some context from an FPL perspective. Liverpool with a fairly narrow win at home to Nottingham Forest. I mean, I think, what's his name? The guy from up front in Forest, Awoniyi? Is that how you say his name? Bicycle kick in the last minute. One off the bar last second. Easily could have got a draw from that. Easily. So, yes, Liverpool, a little bit lucky potentially to get the 3-2. I think we were just about good enough for the win. So, yeah, lots to talk about. Double game week coming up, of course,
not
as well,
know,
in a couple of weeks. But
why have I got this cup?
I don't know. I didn't do it in your Spurs cup. I was a bit concerned that you might not want the Spurs cup after today.
There's major problems here. One, this is not going to last the whole stream. It's too small.
It's a little tea.
And two, it's not in my cup. You've absolutely had a stinker.
Anything Spurs related, I think you are right to distance yourself, dear, from, because that was the most inept 20 minutes I've ever seen from a football team in a Premier League. It was disgusting.
You didn't watch it, so how
it would
you know?
It was disgusting.
You weren't even here.
I was listening to
you
it on the radio.
No, you weren't.
And do you know what? I actually quite liked listening to it on the radio, because there's something about listening. God, showing me age now. Listen to it on the old wireless. You stick 5 Live in or whatever, because I listen to Radio 5 Live, BBC Radio 5 Live. And there's something about radio commentary. They have to be, because there's no visual. They have to be very descriptive. They have to use very sort of descriptive kind of words. And I will not share with you the sort of words that they were saying to describe
this
Spurs performance.
FPL podcast. Why are we even starting with Spurs when nobody owns any FPL players from Spurs?
We're not starting with Spurs.
So why are you talking about Spurs?
Because that's it now. I've said my piece now, because this time last week I said what I said about Spurs and I got my head bitten off. So this week I'm going to keep my opinions to myself.
Do you regret having Dominic Solanke over Kane?
I'm going to keep my opinions to myself. No
doubt
about it. Daniel Banks, how are you doing? Solanke owners, where are you? Yeah, what was that about? Another shock, wasn't it?
Told you that he was going to be rubbish, everybody, but you didn't listen to me.
Well done, Sam, because nobody predicted that. No one predicted West Ham winning 4-0 away from home. That was incredible. Simon's in, took another minus 28. Thanks for the super chat. Didn't go well this week.
I'm sorry.
The minus 28 is not going to go well, Simon.
There wasn't enough points this week for anybody for the minus 28 to have worked.
No, definitely
not. There wasn't enough FPL points going around for the big hitters. That was part of the problem.
Definitely not. Nathan Jobber is here. Hey, Nathan. 84 this week, mate. That's very good. Very good. Up to 1.5K overall. Very nice, Nathan. Very good indeed. And we have to give a shout out to FPL Harry, right? I think he's in the chat. In and moderating tonight. I did an off-the-bench podcast with him on Tuesday of last week. I was going to say, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it, but it's completely irrelevant now because it's based on last game week. I knew he was doing well, but I hadn't really appreciated quite how well he was doing. And then that podcast started and he was like, yeah, I'm like 260th in the world. I was like, what?
I think he's 202nd now after this week.
Is another good game week this week?
I think he's on 202nd in the world.
Harry, mate, we are honestly rooting for you, mate. This is incredible that we can have a member of the FPL community with such a following as Harry, who's in here always on the live streams, that is up there in the upper echelon. And that is upper echelons. 200 is ridiculous, mate. It is ridiculous. So, mate, we are all rooting for you. You've got to go win it, mate. Go win it, because that is so, so good.
Go win it. No pressure, Harry.
He doesn't think that has pressure for breakfast. Come on. Let's face it. He ain't interested in Chelsea, is he? He's all about FPL.
He's
not interested in Chelsea.
Savage you are.
Not at all. Not at all. Duncan Crawford is in. Another one of our patron supporters. Hey, Duncan, is Jota nailed now? We have to talk about Diogo Jota a bit later on.
Move this ever so slightly because...
Do you want to just tilt it slightly towards you?
Yeah, because when I lean... That's better.
Yeah, that's it. You're more in frame now.
I can't sit back in the chair and I was really uncomfortable. And I was like, if I sit like this the whole time, I'm going to have a backache by the end.
That is better. Duncan, Jota, we're going to talk about him, right? Because there is going to be, I think, this little narrative, I think, going over the next couple of weeks about whether you sell Harry Kane to fund Salah for a minus four because one's a forward and one's a midfielder, or whether you can directly go from Kane to Jota. And I know you're going to have some counter narratives to that about keeping Harry Kane, but Liverpool assets do look investable over the next couple of weeks, at least from an attacking perspective. Although Trent Alexander-Arnold did play particularly well again against Forest. Again, Samar95, he just says, hugs, Sam. Hugs.
I'm actually fine, guys, to be fair.
She's actually fine. Because at the end of the day, you had Harry Kane in FPL who wiped out the Newcastle clean sheet.
And beat Dominic Solanke, as who I beat told Dominic Solanke.
So despite your team being utter guff,
you've got to take the positives where you can.
Utter guff. You're happy from an FPL perspective.
You have to take the positives where you can. There was a goal. No one died. And I got some FPL points. There you are.
The positive takeaway from the Spurs game was no one died. Excellent. Good. Stuart Webb is in. Hey, Stuart. Robert Smith. Andrew Yee. Hey, Andrew. Another one of our patron supporters. A whole host of you guys in this evening. So welcome to the FPL family live stream. Let's crack on with the game, Sam, because not only do we need to bosh through these games pretty quickly, because we have another game week, guys. Do not, you know, blink and you miss it. Take a deep breath for today and tomorrow, because as of Tuesday, I believe it's a Tuesday deadline, and you had to remind me of this earlier in the day.
I was wondering if you were going to bring up the fact that you totally forgot there was a midweek game.
I did not register with me. Didn't I was so focused on the free hit this week that when you said to me earlier on, you were like, yeah, well, you know, get your moves ready for Tuesday. I was like, Tuesday? We're talking about Tuesday.
Came back in from taking, you've been out with Max, ain't you, this afternoon. You came back in and you were going, oh, I can't wait to talk about Spurs. And I was like, why are we talking about Spurs? There's literally no point talking about Spurs. Nobody's getting them in for 33. And you were like, yeah, yeah, but we, you know, and I was like, no, we've got no time to talk about the last game. We've got to get in on the new one. It's on Tuesday. And you were like,
Tuesday?
What?
Mind blown.
And I was like, and don't forget, of course, we won't have another live stream before Friday's double game, before Saturday's double game week 34 starts. So no real time to reflect on Spurs. Oh. Let's just all move on with our lives.
Of course. So really on this live stream, we've got to talk about the next couple of weeks, haven't we? We've got to talk about the very...
we've got to stop talking about this week and move on.
Oh, yeah, I bet you. Yeah, I'm sure you do want to stop talking about this week. Let's get into some of these games. And we have to start with the game on Friday. It was one of the games of the season. Just an incredible, incredible performance from both teams. But I'm afraid, Arsenal fans, that is now three draws in a row, as you won't need me to remind you. City relentlessly going after the title, as we know. Mm. It's not out of Arsenal's hands, but it's also not out of City's hands either. And Wednesday now is a title decider, isn't it? It looks like it.
They've sort of both got one hand on it now, haven't they?
Mm.
And they're...
I think like City have got a hand and a half, though, I have to say.
See, I don't know.
The momentum is unreal.
The momentum is with them, for sure. What happens on Wednesday evening, whoever wins it,
yeah.
is my view.
Yeah.
Whoever wins it. Because I think if Arsenal lose that game, I think they're already having a wobble.
I think to say the least, they're having a wobble, yeah.
I was being kind.
Yeah, yeah.
They're having a wobble. And if City put them out of their misery on Wednesday night, I suspect they'll find it very hard to come back from. And that's...
Still a lot of football to... There's still a lot of football to go, but I think you're right. Mentally, I think...
There is still a lot of football to come, but equally, they've got also one less game than Man City.
Yeah.
So if they lose to...
Two less now, isn't it?
Well, if they lose to Man City... on the Wednesday evening, then Man City go into the double game week knowing that if they win their game in hand on Arsenal, that puts them in a nicer place. And they've still got a fixture to be rescheduled for the one that they missed at the weekend. So
it's going to
be very hard for Arsenal to win it from here if they don't win on Wednesday night.
But what are we now saying about Arsenal and FPL then? So I've got Gabriel and I've got Bukayo Saka that are back into my team now that my free hit's kind of gone out the window. Yeah. That's been scrapped. I've got my team back for
same
game
as
week
mine.
33. And Gabriel and Saka are both in there with Man City away as the fixture. Defensively, I am so up for getting rid of Gabriel. I mean, one of the first things I did when my game week 33 team popped back up in my app was how do I get from Gabriel to Trent? That was one of my key things. I don't have enough in the bank, so I'm already thinking about hits to get Trent in and stuff, right? But Gabriel to Trent looks absolutely nailed on for a transfer for me. And if I had the money, I would do it as my free transfer as soon as possible, frankly. Because Arsenal defensively, what's going on there? Is it just the Saliba thing? Is it as simple as that?
Well, I mean, they do seem to have fallen apart a bit defensively since they lost him.
Set pieces as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost him. The loss of him does seem to have had a big impact. And the fact that they are being so flaky in talking about him, Arteta, in his last press conference, sort of went...
Yeah, is he back anytime soon or not? It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it, because last week Arteta said something really flaky. At the press conference he did on, I think it might have been, I don't know if it was on Wednesday or Thursday now, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But whenever he did it, and he said something along the lines of, hopefully I'll have more news next week.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good,
what do you mean,
does
hopefully
it?
Hopefully you'll doesn't have more news next good. Week. You know what's up with him by now, surely. It's been 4 weeks or however long it's been. You know what's up with him. So what's actually the case here? There is something amiss. I don't know whether the change in the system up front is also having a little bit of an impact in terms of the player and the personnel and the positions that they're playing with Jesus back in the team.
Don't seem to have any trouble scoring goals, though.
No, but I just mean defensively. Are they putting more focus in their attacking play, those guys, rather than getting back and helping the defence?
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, but the defence does feel like an easy sell. Maybe with the exception of Ben White, who keeps popping up with attacking returns. So even when you lose the clean sheet, you do seem to get something out of him. And given that he's cheap and is therefore benchable, you could potentially hold him. But when you're playing that little bit more money for the likes of Gabriel, and you've got players like you rightly said, like Trent, who a lot of people are wanting to get to, I think they are sellable. The question for me would be, do you do it now? So I'm just going to bench Gabriel this week.
Yeah.
And then have the two transfers going into game week 34 where I can deal with him then. Because I don't really feel like it's... I mean, I've got a real benching headache this week, as we'll talk about later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think you'll find that there'll be a lot of managers that do, particularly if you've wildcarded recently or are currently wildcarding going into 33, there'll be a lot of managers with benching headaches.
Mm.
And Gabriel feels like one that you could just slot into the bench.
Mm.
And the bigger question that you have is a lot of managers will be doubled or trebled up on Arsenal. A lot of managers that are free-hitted this week, like myself, will be trebled up on Manchester City. If you haven't free-hitted, you're at least going to have one.
For sure.
So you could end up with a situation where you've feasibly got five or six players that would normally slot straight into your starting 11 playing against each other in the biggest game potentially of the season.
Well, it is no question.
And that is where you have to make some sort of tough decisions, because right now I've got Saka on my bench, which feels horrific.
So you're backing a home win easily, or how are you thinking this fixture is going to go on Wednesday?
Well, I think City win the game.
Mm.
I think Arsenal score in the game.
Mm.
I don't think it will be 4-0 City. I think it'll be tight. I think both sides score.
I think City are going to murder them.
Do
Wednesday.
You?
I think they're going to murder them. And I hate to... Sorry, Arsenal fans. And you know, I've been a big... You know, I try and add a bit of balance to your Arsenal rhetoric on here.
I've been really positive about
Arsenal. I like the way they set out everything. I just think they were overly emotional in this game, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about the fact that, you know, Arsenal were the spirit and the emotion, everything. And it reminds me, I hate to keep harking back to Liverpool, guys, but this is all I know. There was a few seasons ago where Liverpool were just finding ways to win games, right? The emotion would just drag them through.
Yeah.
And it feels like Arsenal are at that point now. They're almost like this. They're almost like too emotionally involved. What the hell is the Zinchenko huddle all about? They go 2-0 down and Zinchenko almost... I thought it was for show. Like it's for the cameras. Almost like I'm gonna get everybody. You're not even the captain. I'm gonna get everybody into a huddle and I'm gonna show the crowd. I'm gonna show the cameras that, you know, we mean business here. We're gonna come back into this. And to be fair, they did. They got the goal. But then it's Zinchenko that loses his man for the third goal. I think they played with too much emotion. I think. And I think if they go into that City game with even a modicum of an emotionally weaker state, if I was City, I'd be watching that 3-3 and going, I'm smelling blood here. I smell blood.
Well, they will think
and
that.
Erling Haaland in particular, up against Holding on Wednesday, because Haaland's not a Muppet, right? He is going to attach himself.
I'm not a Muppet.
He is going to attach himself to Holding, right? Holding was a mess at the weekend, a mess. And listen, seems like a nice guy, right? But he's no William Saliba. It really isn't. And I think if Haaland scores early, or even if City score early, it's going to be a bloodbath, I think.
So what are you doing then? Because you're going into this game with Gabriel, Saka,
yeah,
Haaland. That it?
Gabriel, Saka, Haaland and Grealish.
Four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Playing them all?
Let's talk about it later. But I'm not playing Gabriel, no.
No, and I think this
I'm
is
gonna
the
sell
thing,
him, if anything.
I think this is the thing with Arsenal, because the other thing you have to consider here is that if you sell an Arsenal player now ahead of a difficult game against Man City and use that spot to bring in a Liverpool asset or one or Man United, if you don't have Rashford anymore, for example, and you use that spot to bring back Rashford, or you bring in Salah, or you know you do the defensive thing and you bring in Trent or whoever, it gives you not just a better fixture this week but the double next week, and then another double still to be rescheduled. And I think that's the way we kind of have to look at Arsenal at the moment, is the form has dropped a little bit, not the forward players, the form hasn't dropped with them, they're still doing well, but so you have to make these tough kind of calls. And to sell Saka or Martinelli or Jesus, if you've got him, feels really weird. But if you're doing it because you're going to get somebody that's got potentially, you know, two games more than them.
Well, here's the reason why we put that on the thumbnail for this video. Because if you look at the fixtures, yeah, I mean, you could make a case for it. Because Arsenal, yeah, there's the Man City game. Then it's Chelsea at home in 34, which doesn't sound too bad, does it? But I'm worried about the knock-on effect of that Man City game. If City beat them... And then, you know, eventually go above them in the league because they've got this game in hand that they're going to play in game week 34. And listen, Fulham and West Ham, they ain't going to, you know, that is 6 points. They're going to win both of those. So feasibly, Arsenal could be going to St James's Park, which on the back of today, we know is a difficult place to go. And they've got to win. They've got to go to St James's Park and win, because City are going to be playing home to Leeds. That's 3 points. Away at Everton, 3 points. Chelsea, Brighton, possibly a difficult fit. Well, it is a difficult fixture at the Amex, but by then City could be clear, right? Could be clear. And Arsenal, I think it's so huge Wednesday. It's so big. And I hate coming on here and having kind of polar narrative, because I'll get absolutely done on Twitter by the Arsenal fans, because I always do, right? Because it's, you know, sometimes I come in here and I'm like, oh, well, it could go this way, it could go that way. But I genuinely think Arsenal are going to get mullered on Wednesday, because mentally I think they're too fragile at the minute. And City, the opposite. They are mentality monsters. They've been here, done it, know how to win leagues. And I am, spoiler alert, I'm captaining Haaland on this game week coming up. That's not even a question. Not even a question. And I know Ollie Watkins has got Fulham at home, and we'll make a case for it a bit later on. There's some other good fixtures going on, but Haaland, for me, absolutely going to be the one. Rithwick, thank you for the super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hey, Rithwick, how are you doing? Going to do wild card in 33 and bench boost in 34. So, Rithwick, still a couple of chips in hands. This is quite unusual, I would say, Rithwick, but fair play for holding on to your chips for this long. Lots of moves. I'm going to try and decipher what looks like hieroglyphics on my screen here. Watkins and Welbeck / Jota and Solanke. So of those two, which do you like the look of? Watkins and Welbeck or Jota and Solanke? I think I'd just about go for Jota and Solanke, wouldn't
you? Would you?
Yeah.
See, I think I'd...
And if Welbeck picked up a bit of a knock in the FA Cup today, potentially.
You'd have to keep an eye on that. But if Welbeck's fit and you... He's a really nice differential given that Brighton have still got an additional three fixtures to play. They've got nine, where most others have got six.
That's true. And if you're going to go for the second, Jota and Solanke, which of these three is the best move to fund it? Oh my goodness, there's loads going on here. Raya and a Stupinan to Steele and Pinnock. White to a Palace defender or Trippier to Shaw. Well, I wouldn't be selling Trippier.
No, don't think you can sell Trippier.
You've already spoken about maybe keeping Ben White.
I think you've got an issue potentially to keep an eye on with Jason Steele because, of course, he's been injured. Yeah. And Sanchez has taken that spot back. And I thought Sanchez actually played well.
He did, despite being on the losing side of ultimately.
Yeah.
He kept the save in extra time. Second half extra time was unreal, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
So I think we've got to be a bit mindful of that going into this, is that if Steele's still not fully fit, which seems to be the case, then maybe the midweek fixture might come too quickly for him. So then you need to make sure then that your other goalkeeper is somebody that you're happy to play. Mm. So I wouldn't go in with the Brighton keeper. I think I prefer to go in with one of the others. Like, even going for somebody like Leno isn't a horrible... I mean, they've got horrible double game week fixtures, so maybe you wouldn't have him as a first choice. But this is why I sort of prefer a premium goalie at the minute, because you can set and forget them. You can pick the ones that have got nice fixtures, you know, the double game week fixtures, that kind of thing. You could even go in with someone like De Gea, maybe, if you can afford it. But yeah, I wouldn't be selling Trippier for Shaw. What was the other option? Palace. Palace defence looks
okay. Ben
White
to a Palace defender, yeah.
I mean, that looks fine. That looks fine.
I think I'd do that, wouldn't you, given Arsenal's fixtures coming up?
Does Ben White to a Palace defender save you loads of money?
I don't know if it does. But anyway, Arsenal, looking a little bit fragile, despite the free goals. And of course, being 3-1 down with only 5 minutes to go, unbelievable comeback, right? So they did show some strong mentality there, no doubt about it. But Southampton also sort of crumbled a little bit and let those goals in my opinion. And it was a really, really fantastic end to that game. I just think Arsenal are going to come up. I just think City have been looking at this game for weeks. They've been looking at this game for weeks if we win this game, we'll win the league because the fixtures look so good. And I'm backing them. Sorry, Arsenal fans, but I'm backing them. Where else do you want to go? Let's talk about... do you want to do the 6-1 or do you want to do Liverpool?
I think we should stick mostly... I mean, I'm happy to do Spurs next if you want, but I think mostly we should stick with the teams that double in 34, so we cover out 34
as
well.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Because
we're not going to be live streaming again. So
that's a good point. So when I put the fixture ticket together, I did filter it by game week 34 so that we can see those teams that have double fixtures in 34. So City, we've already spoken about. Brighton, Man U, Liverpool.
Fulham.
I guess we can talk about West Ham and Fulham as well. West Ham, Palace away, City away is their double, and then Fulham is City and Liverpool. Tricky looking fixtures for both of them too, I would suggest. So I wouldn't want to necessarily put you off a Bowen or somebody like that, but I think City, Brighton, United and Liverpool is probably where we've got to focus the conversation.
I think so, and given that we know that City and Brighton double again in 36 and Brighton will have another double and Man City, so there are other fixtures to be rescheduled in there. So I think that's the key here, is that whatever you're doing for 33 has to also make sure it works for 34.
All right, well, let's talk about Liverpool then from that perspective, just while you have a sip of your cup of tea.
I've got enough left.
Liverpool 3, Nottingham Forest 2. I'm going to come to you for your opinion because I've got loads to discuss on this game. Now, Diogo Jota, two goals, no assists, but two goals, and definitely was the match winner with the three bonus points. Yeah. I want to just focus on something that Klopp spoke about in his pre-match press conferences, because I sat here last week and throughout the week I was talking about how I was quite keen on Darwin. I was sitting here talking about Darwin and I was saying it could be a bit of a Darwin sort of game, this Forest game coming up at the weekend. And I thought, well, I was backing him for the start. Well, I'll happily say I sat here and I backed him for the start. I thought only come on for about 10 minutes or so, didn't he? And I was reasonably keen on him on my free hit. I was, and as you know, throughout the week, I was like, how do I get Darwin in this free hit?
Yeah.
And then on Friday or Thursday, whenever the Klopp press conference was, Klopp put me off him massively. Massively. Possibly for the rest of the season. Because Klopp was talking about a few things. He was talking about... he was asked a question about Darwin Nunez. And he said, counter-pressing is how you get in this team. Those were his exact words. Counter-pressing is how you get in this team. So I read that as Nunez isn't counter-pressing enough. And then he went on to talk about how Nunez is a bit of a longer-term project. So obviously rates him as a player, longer-term project. So I'm like, oh, okay, so he's not counter-pressing enough. And he sees Nunez as still a work in progress, like, if you know what I mean. He then started talking about the fact that he's still learning English.
Yeah, he said so something weird, didn't he, about translators. I can't have 28 translators something he said.
This is a big thing for Klopp. Trust me, I've watched this over the years he's been at the club. Learning at least a level of English to make sure that you are absolutely part of that, you know, everyday Liverpool culture is a big thing. It's a big thing. So for Nunez to be at the club for some months now, listen, he's not just arrived, as he's been there for a little while now. Now, I'm not multilingual, and I'm not in any way suggesting it's easy to learn English if you are coming from South America. It is not.
Liverpudlian English.
Especially Scouse. Not at all easy. But I know that Klopp and the club will have given him some of the best English language teachers. And for Klopp to just make that what seemed like a fairly throwaway comment in a press conference, to me, suggests he's not...
He can't communicate with him quite as well as he would want. That's how maybe. I read it.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he's not quite settling as he might want. Right. He's still got some work to do to be a regular in that team. And to your point, translate, literally... what Klopp's asking him to do on the pitch.
And not just that, in match play situation, be able to talk to your teammates and be like, you're here or you're here. Yeah. And know that that's what you're doing and have that kind of conversation when the match is in play.
Yeah.
And that's something that with the other attacking players that you have...
Yeah.
isn't a thing.
So there we go. Contrast that with Diogo Jota, who comes in from Wolves, knows English... I think I said again last week, or maybe it was on one of our podcasts, because Liverpool played on Monday, didn't they, against Leeds? It was on a midweek podcast, or maybe Ohana, I can't remember. But I was talking about the fact that one of the reasons I fancied Darwin for the start was Jota put in an unbelievable shift against Leeds. He was counter-pressing like a monster. But Klopp obviously likes that, so gave him the start against Forest. And again, counter-pressed like a machine. Mm. How we've missed that this season has been unbelievable. So all that goes to say, the FPL... statement I'd make is I don't see how Jota gets dropped right now. I just don't see how he rests him. Because everything good about what we're doing from an attacking perspective, don't get me wrong, Gakpo did pretty well. And I think from a FPL perspective, if you had him in your free hit, you can feel a little bit unlucky. Maybe he had a couple of chances. Mm. Mo's doing Mo things, as usual. Even though he's getting fouled for that goal, he still sticks it away.
Yeah.
But Jota right now is the reason we've started scoring a lot of goals, I think. Because his counter-press is unbelievable.
Because it's interesting. So just while you were talking, I just looked up. Because Darwin obviously came on and I was kind of like, how many minutes did he give him? He gave him half an hour, but he took Gakpo off of him, didn't he? Rather than Jota.
Yeah.
And Jota didn't come off until 81 when he put Luis Diaz on. So that's another, 10 minutes of football that Luis Diaz has got, which suggests a couple of things to me. It suggests that Klopp is really protecting Luis Diaz and his recovery from injuries, giving him 10
minutes.
And
he's right too, I think.
Here and there. So I think that rules him out of the FPL conversation until we start to see... more like 30 minutes in a game, and then maybe you can start to think about him as a bit of a differential. However, that is going to be after the double game week in 34. We're not going to have Luis Diaz as an option now. So it rules him out of the conversation. I think what Klopp has said has kind of taken Darwin Nunez out of the conversation. So it leaves you with...
For now, I think it has.
It leaves you with a few or fewer FPL assets that you could realistically go to at Liverpool. I think, you know... as frustrating as it was, because I'd gone with the double defence, as a lot of people did on free hit, we knew that the clean sheets aren't sticking very much at Liverpool.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, but what you have got with Trent is that kind of inverted position that he's playing now, which means that his attacking returns always look likely, and of course the set piece threat that we saw. So you can get attacking returns. So I think Trent is coming back to being one of those players that you're just going to want to have, regardless of the clean sheet thing at the moment.
Yeah.
I think the bigger question then for me is Salah, Gakpo, still part of the conversation, of course, because they're the midfielders.
Mm.
And those are the slots that are kind of easier to fill, because for a lot of managers going into this week, unless you are wildcarding, you are probably not looking at your forward slots unless you haven't got Haaland.
Mm.
I think the only reason you'd be looking at your forward slots is if you wanted to do what you said earlier and sell Kane in order to get Salah in your team. But are you going to do that for 33? Well, you might, but you also might roll this time around and then do it at the end of the week so that you get Salah in for 34.
Yeah. Here's a question for you then. How essential, if I can use that word, is Salah for 34? Because, and the reason I ask you that question is because, again, let's go to the fixtures. Who are you captain in 34?
Haaland.
You know you're captain Haaland in 34. I'm captain Haaland in 34. Fulham and West Ham, the world is going to be captain Haaland in 34.
Yeah.
Unless somebody can give me a pretty good reason, unless I've missed a Champions League tie somewhere, someone's going to tell me in the chat.
Till May.
But Fulham and West Ham, there is no way I'm not captain in Haaland in 34. So, okay, Liverpool got Spurs and Fulham at home. That looks good as well. And Salah is absolutely a captaincy option if you've got him.
But he's not a better option than Haaland.
But should we be ripping our teams up to get him? Or, here's the next question, could you have some Liverpool cover, I hate this word, could you get Jota instead to cover Mo in 34?
Yeah, I think you can. Mm. But I think Jota's if Jota was a midfielder, I think that would be a far easier conversation to be having.
Oh, yes.
Because the other thing, and as we discussed this earlier, didn't we? Because we were talking about, you know, if you do the Kane out thing, which, as much as I love Harry Kane, I'm not completely adverse to it because Spurs don't have a double and we are terrible.
Mm.
But he is still returning points. So you kind of do go, oh, yeah, but, you know, whatever. But if you take him out in order to get Salah, you've got to sacrifice a midfielder as well. It's not just, I'll sell Kane for Jota.
And you're sitting there with your Brighton midfielders who've got a double. Them. Rashford's got a double.
Can't sell him. Yeah. Grealish has got a double. Can't sell him. So it leaves you with Saka. Because this is where I am.
You've got to sell your Arsenal mid. Yeah, that's a good point.
So this is the thing, is it's not just, and it can't be seen as being a straight choice between Kane and Salah. Because it's not a straight choice between Kane and Salah. Mm. It's Kane plus probably an Arsenal midfielder versus Salah and a cheap forward, probably someone like maybe the Solanke-ish bracket, because you're going to take the money out. Maybe a bit more. You'll maybe get to eight.
If you're selling a Saka, if you've got a bit of money in the bank. Now, Jota is not cheap, right? I think he's 8.67, maybe 8.8, right?
But the reality is he's more expensive than Saka. So yes, if you've got to spend more on him than you've got from Saka, Kane's a million cheaper than Salah.
Mm.
So you've got to have a bit of money in the bank to be able to do this. You might be able to get someone like Ivan Toney. You might be able to go for somebody in that sort of 7 to 8 million bracket. You might be able to get Jota if you make some other changes elsewhere. But I don't think you're going to do Jota and Salah for Kane and an Arsenal.
Maybe not, but I think you'll find some FPL managers go to Jota and Salah. I think Liverpool's certainly scoring more goals at the moment.
You're more likely, I think, to want to make sure that you've got, you know, a Rashford and a Grealish or a City midfielder in there if you don't have one of them. Because there'll be a lot of managers that don't. So I just think that the conversation, it needs to be done in a broader context. So on paper, selling Kane for Salah seems sensible. But you have to do it.
What else have you got to do?
About the other sacrifice you have to make in your midfielder. Now,
doesn't that then make Kane to Jota far more attractive?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And also, the other thing you've got to think about is I'm looking at it going, right, well, how do I get Gabriel to Trent? I haven't got two or 3 million. Well, if I downgrade Kane to Jota, I have. So there's your money for Trent.
Yeah. So, but that's the point I'm making, is that I think that the conversation about Kane to Salah is tough. Because you're talking about a positional change.
Yeah.
I think by talking about Kane to Jota, you are freeing up money. Yes, absolutely. And then you can use that money to go Gabriel if you want to, or Chilwell if you want to, up. Because you've still got Chilwell as well, haven't you?
I have,
so you've got a couple of defenders that you might want to think about. So I think that those conversations make, in my mind anyway, they make a lot more sense. And I can see the benefit of selling Kane for Jota far more than I can see the benefit of selling Kane for Salah, only because of the impact on the other fifth midfielder spot. Yeah.
And the fact that you're probably not going to captain Mo, right?
Yeah, but...
I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying you're probably going to go Haaland.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, if you were saying to me, Sam, I've got to sell Kane to get Haaland, fine, absolutely. No issue there. But because it's that midfielder slot, or if Salah was a forward, I think it would be, yes, do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, for example, Toby Govin, thank you for the comment, right? You can sell Kane to get both Trent and Salah. You can, but you're going to be spending points, right? Because you're selling a forward to get a midfielder and a defender.
Yeah, and who's the midfielder that's going?
Yeah.
Because that midfielder that's
not
going...
Not as easy as that, is it?
Can't be one of Grealish, the Brighton mids...
Yeah.
Rashford. So it's basically going to come down to selling an Arsenal midfielder.
Yeah, tricky
one. And
it's
how much you want to do it.
Do you want to give a shout out to those that got Robertson on their free hit or have got Robertson in their team? I think he got 4 points in the end, but a little unlucky, I would suggest. If you look at the some of the stats that I found in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, and as usual, quick plug for Fantasy Football Scout, if you're not a member over at Scout yet, definitely worthy of consideration. All the links are in the description below.
Free trial still on.
Free trial is still on. We use loads of it here in the Fantasy Football Scout members area. As you can see on my iPad, there we go. Look, I'm in the members area every time we do a live stream using the stats that the Scout team make available in this cool little dashboard, which they call the members area. And the Robertson stats that I want to pull out are second for chances created. So Martinelli top with 6, but then Robertson joint with Saka on 5, and also top for crosses in the game with 12, Robertson, and touches in the opponent's half. Ben White, interestingly, was second with 100, but Robbo was like 125 or something with way out ahead. So,
which is interesting, isn't it? Because compare hit that to the last couple of weeks,
right,
where Trent's been playing right in midfield and Robbo has been correct, far more defensively minded and hasn't been getting forward as much, which is what had put me off him on the free hit.
But he is having touches in the opponent's
but
half.
But this week we saw much more of old Robbo getting into the opponent's half, getting up the line, making the crosses in, creating chances for teammates. That's an attractive proposition for FPL managers moving forward if that's going to be the style of play. You have to question how much that was to do with Nottingham Forest and the way that they play.
Yeah.
But we did see old school Robbo more in this game.
One of the other reasons I think we saw that is because Jota works so bloody hard defensively that actually when Robbo goes forward, he's confident enough that Jota will go and cover him. Another reason why Klopp loves Jota so much, and another reason why I don't think he's as much of a rotation risk. By the way, I cannot sit here and say, get Jota because he's guaranteed game time and will start both in the double. I don't know.
No, because
and there's enough doubt because you've got Luis Diaz coming back. You've got Darwin sitting there. But
Bobby's out as well at the moment.
Bobby is injured, which would be such a shame if we don't see Bobby again in Liverpool shirt. I hope that we do.
But you've also got to remember that Liverpool have obviously got the midweek game like everybody. Then they're going to play weekend. Then they're going to play midweek again.
Yeah,
so that's 3 games in a week.
It is entirely possible that Jota doesn't get the 3 starts or start every game. But at the moment, he looks the most dangerous of our front three, and I'll include Mo in that. So Liverpool definitely worthy of our time and investment. Where else to go, Sam? We've spoken about City, we've spoken about Liverpool. Should we have a conversation about Manchester United? Because they are the other team, or one of the other teams that we should talk about.
I mean, Manchester United and Brighton obviously played each other today. Now, bear in mind, not a Premier League game, but played each other. And I thought it was interesting to watch from an FPL perspective because we both sat and looked at the Brighton team and were like, as McAllister owners, we were both like... Ooh.
Sitting deeper to start with, alongside Caicedo, wasn't it?
Who was great today, by the way.
And it was Encisco that kind of went and played that 10 role. I'm like, what is it about Brighton's South American scouting network?
Yeah, they're great.
Encisco, what a nice little player he is. Great.
But I think, you know, he went off maybe with a little bit of a knock. We'll have to see what happens there.
Yeah. Encisco, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
But McAllister, even with the sitting deeper thing, still got the set pieces in his locker and was unlucky, actually. There was a couple of set pieces he had where I was like, ooh, that would have been a good one.
Him sitting back like that to start with. And by the way, so De Zerbi did move him into the 10 a bit later on in the game when Encisco was injured. And if we do hear that Encisco is, the injury is worse than it looked on the TV, then that probably puts that probably allays any fears that McAllister's going to be dropping into that deeper role anytime soon. And I thought Brighton looked better actually in spells when he was in that 10. But I think the point you're getting to is that with Forest up in 33 and then a double, both at home to Wolves and Man U, and then home to Everton in 35, and then two doubles coming up, all right, they look harder. Well, certainly 36 is much harder away at Arsenal and Newcastle, but then a couple of home games in 37. McAllister sort of feels like, well, it's certainly not a priority sell, is it? I mean, if a sell at all, double game week in 34, you'd want to keep him, I think, wouldn't you? Still great value.
I mean, I said to you, didn't we, when we were watching it, I don't think you do anything about it. He's going to get the start. He's on set pieces. He's on penalties. I think you hold him. I think if you don't have McAllister or you're wild carding, then there's more of a conversation because I think you go Matoma. I think you go...
Yeah. If you don't have him, would you bring him in?
No.
I think so.
If I didn't have him, I would look to prioritise someone else.
Yeah.
Maybe March if you don't have him, although obviously he was the one that eventually missed the penalty. And he was beside himself, but I think he might actually
he'll bounce back, I think we'll do a real good
performance, but I think he'd be one I prioritise to bring in if I had, like, so Max, he's wild carding at the moment. He went into this weekend with a Stupinian and Matoma, doesn't have a third. I think with him I'm going to do March rather than Matoma, because rather than McAllister, because I just think that there's enough uncertainty about that number 10 role at the moment with Encisco there as well, that you, I think March might just be a nicer option, but I wouldn't change them for each other. If you're doing that. So I think that the whole conversation with the Brighton guys still remains the same. I think Steele is an issue that you have to keep an eye on, because I'm not 100%
certain. Couldn't tell you who's the goalie next match, could you?
No, I'm not 100% certain what happens when Steele is fit again, because I think Sanchez has actually done a really good job in his absence. I think from a United perspective, well, Rashford, I think, goes back on the you need to have Rashford going into the doubles.
Looks a little bit rusty today, but you can sort of understand that, can't you?
You can understand that, yeah.
I thought their best player was Bruno Fernandes by a mile.
Yeah, but I would prioritise Rashford over Bruno.
Would you? Yeah, I think you're probably right. Is that a fear of EO statement, or is that just a Rashford can get the goal any time in the game?
Yeah, I just think that Rashford's going to hang about in all the right areas. Bruno often does all of the great creative stuff and looks brilliant to watch on TV, but somehow doesn't end up getting any FPL points because he's passed the ball and then it's gone in and it's Rashford that's ended it, or what have you.
So, any United defenders or anyone else in that United team?
I honestly think the United defence at the moment is a steer clear of, and that's tough.
Despite the clean sheet today?
There's enough injuries and uncertainty about who might start where.
Yeah.
Like, I think Luke Shaw, if you want to go back to Luke Shaw, you can. But we are seeing him get less attack. It's less attacking threat, depending upon where he plays in that defence.
Yeah.
And if he plays in the centre-back position, then you're going to get less attacking Luke Shaw.
I think they're better with Casemiro, you know.
They are much better with Casemiro.
I'm definitely not sitting here saying go and invest loads in Man United defence. And maybe as a David De Gea owner, I've got my United goggles on a little bit, potentially. God, that's a phrase I never thought I'd say. With Casemiro there, keeping Brighton out is no joke, right? They've kept Brighton out today for 120 minutes. That's no joke.
I do agree. I think Casemiro is so, so important to them. But I just think that there are other defences I would prioritise investment in over theirs. And that doesn't mean that Manchester United's defence isn't going to get any clean sheets. It just means that I would look at Liverpool and go, I'd rather have Trent. And I'd rather use that position.
Okay.
I'd rather have Robbo if I can't afford Trent. I might rather have a Brighton defender if I didn't have one of them. I'd rather look at Manchester City and get one of their defenders in if I didn't have one of them. And that's why I wouldn't. And because of that and the injuries, I just wouldn't prioritise Manchester United's defence. But I would prioritise getting Rashford back in if you've sold him or don't have him.
Yeah, okay. All right, so the United and Brighton game did give us a bit of pause for thought from an FPL perspective today, no doubt about it.
I think we have to give a shout out to West Ham, though, because...
Go on.
The fixtures aren't brilliant.
Palace away, Man City away in 34.
They're not the best fixtures in the world.
Liverpool coming up in 33.
But what I will say is that they're... progression in the conference on the Thursday night, I I think will be really telling for them. I think that's going to be really important because it clearly motivated them. They won that game comfortably and confidently. And going into the...
I was not expecting this, though.
I was. So I didn't...
No, come on.
I wasn't expecting 4-0.
West Ham winning at Bournemouth 4-0? You're not expecting that.
Not 4-0, but I did think West Ham would win this game, which is why I didn't want to go with Solanke, because coming out of Thursday night, I was like, I think West Ham are going to take some real confidence from this. They look like a team that's starting to find a little bit of the form that we saw a couple of seasons ago when they were really good.
Okay.
When they made... Well, last season, when they made the conference. But... It was knowing where to go, and I really wanted, and I spoke on the official pod last week about how I really wanted to go with Bowen, but I couldn't work out how to get him in, couldn't work out how to get rid of. He only got an assist, so it wasn't like he hauled.
Yeah.
But there was enough points across that West Ham team, and particularly with somebody like Creswell, who I think, you know, is getting starts again because he's back from his injury, got an assist today, and kept a clean sheet. So I think he's one of those players, relatively cheap. If you're looking for somebody like you, who's talking earlier about freeing up some money, I've got Gabriel, I've got Creswell, but I want to get to Trent. Knowing you want to sacrifice both of those two, somebody like Creswell could be a nice option because he'll free up some money and allow you to get Trent. You're mostly going to be playing three at the back, let's be honest. Over the next 6 weeks, you are mostly going to be playing three at the back. So you don't really need him. You don't really need a fourth expensive midfielder. Defender. So somebody like Creswell could be a good way to free up money from your bench with a player you know has got a double, so could come on for you if you need him. I'm not saying he's going to be a fantastic pick and everyone should get him. I'm just saying if you're trying to free up some money by selling the likes of Gabriel and Chilwell for Trent, he could be a decent enough option for the bench.
Yeah, let's see. I want to watch the highlights of this game because obviously this is a game that wasn't... Well, I don't think it was on TV today because the Spurs were on TV. So I haven't seen the highlights of this. Going to watch Match of the Day 2 tonight and have a look at it because, yeah, genuinely, I obviously bought Solanke in on my free hit thinking that Bournemouth, on the back of a very good run of five wins in the last
Spurs.
Five...
Like,
I'm thinking
anyone could beat Spurs.
Well, I'm thinking they're looking pretty good. I was not expecting... an away win here. I really wasn't. So, yeah, fair play to West Ham. And progressing well in Europe. So, if you are chasing in your mini league, going for a West Ham player or two, given that they do double in 34, all right, it's a difficult double. And the fixtures around it look pretty difficult as well. But, all right, you've made a reasonable case. Any other teams from this list that we want to discuss? So, City, Brighton, United, Liverpool, West Ham we've covered. Fulham are the only other ones with a double game week in 34.
Oh, Andreas Pereira.
But it is difficult, City and Liverpool. So I think we'd probably park them for now. The only other team that we might want to touch on is Newcastle because they have got something to play for. They've got to get that top four spot. Everton away in 33. Southampton at home in 34. And then obviously Arsenal's difficult, but then a double game week in 36. So given that we are, most of us, invested in Trippier, there's some Shars, actually, who got an assist today. There's some Shars on free hit, so well done if you bought him in. There's a few Botmans knocking about. Notice Botman coming back into my team for game week 33. So now I'm, like, back on double Newcastle defence. There's some Isaacs floating around. There's maybe some Callum Wilsons. How are you feeling about investing in Newcastle ahead of this run, given that, okay, no double in 34, but a reasonable-looking fixture against Southampton, and then the double in 36 on the horizon?
So this is where those forward slots become contentious again.
Yeah.
Because today, today Newcastle were great, but because partly we were so bad, like honestly so bad. So, but what I would say is that Isaac was good. Callum Wilson looked good when he came. I mean, he and Almiron were on the pitch for about 35 seconds when they linked up for that goal. I think the difficulty you have is with Almiron, finding a slot in the midfield for somebody like Almiron when he doesn't double straight away is hard.
Bit of
for
a
the,
risk, isn't he, coming for back the later from injury?
Game week 36, you could potentially get there because, you know, you can look at... where was I going with this? Because you've got time to get there from him, and it might be that you can by then you want to sell some of your other midfielders, and that's fine to get to. You know, maybe you're happy to ditch, I don't know, Grealish or whoever by that stage. What I would say though with the forwards is that you're tight again, aren't you? Because Haaland is a lock. What you're dealing with here is two forward slots. And which two forwards do you want?
You're not dropping Ollie Watkins at the minute either, surely.
No, I don't think so. No. Even with the blank this week, I don't think you're dropping Watkins. So he takes one of them. I think the conversation could be that you get Jota in for 34.
Mm.
You have him for the Liverpool double. And then you swap him out for one of the Newcastle forwards so that you have them available for 36.
Whichever you think at the time is looking good. Yeah, which at the minute looks like Isak, but you never know, do you?
No, exactly. And it could be that Callum Wilson gets more game time. I think the reality is they both look dangerous when they're on the pitch. So even if one of them doesn't start, they do seem to come on. And therefore, maybe you just pick out the one that's getting the most minutes at that point.
And how much are we reading into Newcastle going forward? Because certainly this season, historically, we haven't necessarily seen them as a free-scoring team. And even here, it's very difficult to defend Spurs today in that first 20 minutes, but he got it massively tactically wrong. He went for the back four,
and
the fullbacks of Porro and Perisic. It was so wrong. And when Davinson Sanchez come on and you went to the back three and those two were able to do a bit more going forward and a bit less defending, it settled down. I wouldn't say you improved massively, but it did settle down. So I don't look at this. You would be forgiven for looking at this and going, "Wow, Newcastle scoring tons of goals," but Spurs got it so tactically wrong.
Massively, I think we've only played four at the back once this season, and we got slaughtered in that one as well. Yeah. Like it hasn't gone well.
Need a manager, man. Seriously.
And we need a manager very, very badly. And so the biggest thing for me coming out of this game with Newcastle is that if you leave aside the 23 minutes at the beginning of the match and you focus in on the rest of it. Newcastle were still the better team. There's no defending Spurs today. They were still the better team, but they didn't smash us for the rest of the game.
No, when you went to the back three, it was a bit more even.
It was a bit more even. Now, in part, that's because they were smashing us. They were 5-0 and it was, they were coasting. They didn't need to be worried or anxious or anything like that. So you have to take that into account as well. But what I would say is that they stopped being so free-flowing when we went back to a side of play that we like. And we went back to a side of play that we like with Davinson Sanchez. So it wasn't exactly like we had the best players out there. But Newcastle were impressive. And what I was impressed by was the fact that they just killed us off. They got one and then they were like, oh, all right then, go again.
Yeah.
And so they have it in them. And that's where the Newcastle threat comes.
Ruthless streak, you want it. That's what's going to get you top four, isn't it?
And that's what you want in FPL as well, right?
Yeah.
So up until today, we haven't really seen that. We had that with Almiron prior to the World Cup. I think it was prior to the World Cup. It feels like ages ago anyway. When Almiron was on that amazing run where it was just like, go, points everywhere. And we saw that more ruthless Newcastle streak then. Today, for the first time in a while, we saw it again. And they got the first goal within the first minute and then they went for the kill. And that was what impressed me most about Newcastle today.
Mm. Isak owners were loving it, weren't they?
Murphy was great today. Joe Linton played really well today. So there were options
available.
Joe Linton,
very good. Yeah, very good.
There were options available. And I think that's what I would say, is that going into the next couple of weeks, a lot of managers won't prioritise Newcastle because they don't have an immediate double in 34.
Mm.
But I do think if you're wildcarding right now or you're wildcarding going into 34... having a plan in place that says, okay, well, I'm going to get Jota because he doubles in 34, if that's your choice. But for 35, 36, towards the back end of the season, I'm going to switch him out and I'm going to go with Isak or I'm going to go with Callum Wilson. And knowing that that's kind of where your thought process is going. You don't have to stick with it. If Newcastle don't do this again, if they don't show that ruthless streak again, they have got the fixtures to show that ruthless streak. The only thing I'd say is that we saw some fight from Southampton on Friday evening against Arsenal. And we saw a little bit more fight from Everton this weekend in a very boring game against Crystal Palace.
Mm.
The teams at the bottom, I think, are starting to realise
we've got six games, and we've got
to save ourselves. And none of us are relegated yet. We can all get out of it. But
big
we've
teams
got to,
as well. Big Everton, teams, big club, Southampton, big club.
Leicester are down there. They got a result this weekend.
Leeds.
We're just starting to see the clubs at the bottom who will be the ones that we've targeted over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But because nobody's down yet, and realistically, I think we are going to lose Southampton, I think. I don't think they're going to get enough points between now and the end of the season. But the other two slots still are more contentious. And we're starting to see like West Ham getting a big win today, like moving themselves away from the relegation. We've seen it from Palace over the last couple of weeks.
Even the Forest could have got a draw at Anfield this
weekend. Absolutely.
No,
they
no
went,
question.
They were far better no away at Anfield than they have been away from home all season.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of in my head thinking Newcastle might go into those games thinking these are games we can pick up 3 points to secure our top four status. Mm. But equally, Everton and the like are going to be going into those games thinking we need to secure those 3 points to secure our Premier League status.
Yeah.
And that's where the end of the season goes a little bit balmy. And a little,
there's always
the bit,
a couple of random ones.
It's the
ones,
bit
isn't
you
it?
Love the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the bit of the Premier League season that I really enjoy because we start to see clubs fighting for their lives and that's always great.
You're absolutely right.
So
yeah.
Just let's be mindful of that. Because
they can have a big say on who gets relegated, Newcastle. Everton, yeah. Southampton, Leeds, Leicester all still to yeah. play. And then they've got a big sort of 6-pointer against Brighton in there as well, which could determine some European spots.
And Spurs collapsed today because we had our tactics completely wrong. And because everybody, because the person in charge at the club isn't there permanently. Mm. We need a permanent manager. The guys that are going to go and visit Newcastle or Newcastle are going to go and visit over the next few weeks, those managers are invested in keeping those teams alive. Stellini's just holding the fort for us until a new manager arrives.
Yeah, maybe let's not go into it, but your managing director leaving in the week because of his ban and you've got...
He's been gone for a while though. Hugo
Lloris going off injured at half time. Is he injured or
no,
was he...
They've had a bust up in the dressing room and they've taken
good,
him off.
It's not good,
but Fraser Forster actually thought did quite well when he came on. So, yeah. You know, I think that there will be... Spurs is what it is. I don't think we're investing from an FPL perspective. I mean, unless it's Kane. And I think if you want to hold Kane, and I will hold him this week because I want two transfers going into 34.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But I think there is a conversation to be had around Kane. I mean, he's still the second highest scoring player in the game. So we shouldn't just write him off because Spurs are rubbish. Because Spurs were terrible today, yet Harry Kane still gets the consolation goal.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're up against United with a makeshift defence. Casemiro, we've had that conversation. That'll be a difficult game. You go to Anfield, difficult game on paper, but we do give up chances. Nottingham Forest just scores two against us, for Christ's sake. Then it's Palace at home, then it's Villa away. That's a difficult one on paper. Again, in fact, defensively, you'd argue that's probably up there with United as your most difficult game. Brentford, Leeds. Yeah, listen, there's some tears coming for Kane sellers, and there'll be a lot of narrative over the next week or so about selling Kane to fund Salah, to fund Jota, to get to Trent, to get to Liverpool players. There's some tears coming, I tell you.
Well, Kane,
without a doubt, he's been ticking over all season.
The reality is that Harry Kane will score a number more goals between now and the end of the season. So the conversation is, how many goals do you think he's going to get? Because let's be honest, if Spurs score goals, Harry Kane's getting them. That's how it is at the moment.
I don't see anybody. I
know that Son's had a couple in the last couple of weeks, but he's not been consistent like Kane has.
I bet Richarlison was absolutely buzzing to come on at 5-1, wasn't he?
But this is another thing that I was raging about. Richarlison's got fight. He's got grit. We needed that today. We needed that type of player out there on the pitch today to fight for something. Put him on earlier. Just for God's sake, appoint a manager. I don't even care who it is that you appoint. Just give the job to somebody now, because in 6 days...
Who's it going to be, briefly? Because we've got to get to teams.
Who knows?
Nagelsmann, linked against...
Now, why does Nagelsmann want to come to us? Did you watch us today? It is shambolic. I mean,
you almost say something else there that began with "sure"?
Yeah,
not
it did.
Shambolic. That'd have been your first swear on FPL Family live streams. That's how bad it is at Spurs, folks.
I'll do the damn job. I'll do a better job because I won't stand for any of this nonsense. If Nagelsmann wants to come, just pay him whatever needs to be paid and get a signature. If he doesn't want to come, move on. Get Poch. Get whoever else it is that you're going to get.
Get Chelsea,
for God's
Poch,
sake, don't let Poch go to Chelsea. I will actually cry.
It's not all well at Spurs. That is a fact.
And I've got no tea left. So
Spurs are crap. There's no tea left. It's all going Pete Tong.
And we've eaten all the Easter eggs as well. There's no chocolate left
in
this house.
And all the Easter eggs have been eaten in the Bonfield household as well. Before we get to teams, a quick shout out to our patrons. We mentioned a load of them early on in the live stream. So we've got Duncan and Harry and a whole host of the guys are in. So guys, if you want a little bit more FPL Family in your lives, then patreon.com/FPL Family is the place to go. Links are in the description below. We do an extra weekly exclusive podcast, usually on a Friday, but we tend to kind of time it in the week depending on when the deadlines are. for our Patreon community. We make that available exclusively to Patreon supporters over on the platform.
There'll be two this week.
And there will be two this week because lots and lots of games, lots of FPL deadlines coming up thick and fast. If you want bonus podcasts, like I say, if you want entry into our Manager of the Month competition, if you want to come and join us on Slack, we have a great community of not just Sam and I, but there's loads of the guys that are in the live stream will join us over in the Slack as well, in the chat. If you want one-to-one Zooms with Sam and I, loads of good stuff, guys. So patreon.com/FPL family. That is the place to go if you want to come and support us over on Patreon, and if you want a little bit more of FPL family in your life. And a quick update for the April Manager of the Month competition. Now, this is before game week 32. So this was coming into 32 because I haven't yet updated the spreadsheet because the game week has only just finished. But at the end of game week 31, it was Martin Sahlin with 295 points currently leading the way. Then it was James Matthews with 292. Piotr is in with 289. Piotr, I hope I've said your name correctly. I'm pretty sure I haven't. But yes, congrats to Martin. He was top of the shop with 295 points going into game week 32. We will see, Sam, who is now top at the end of game week 32.
Spoiler alert, it's not me or you.
It won't be me or you. I'm pretty sure about that. But if you want to take on Martin and James and Pietro and Sam and I are in our monthly Manager of Month competitions, then patreon.com/FPL family is where you can find out more information about that. And the reason it won't be you or I in that top three is because we had fairly average looking free hits, didn't we? Talk us through yours first and foremost. It is a green arrow. It's not to be sniffed at. But were we hoping for a bit more out of your free hit potentially?
I mean, to be honest, I just hope for green. Like, yeah. I know that that's probably not
64
not,
is okay.
Not the right
that's
thing all right. to say, but I, you know, free hits are one of those things, aren't they, where you I don't really like the free hit chip, and I'll tell you why. Because I get stressed. I get really, really, really stressed. Yeah. As the Ohana guys will testify
we'll have
to.
Heard. Yeah.
Because I did that I did the Ohana this week, and I was stressed because
stressful chip.
Yeah, and when you have the wild card, it's for a multiple period of weeks. So you pick these players and you invest in them because...
And if it goes bad, you say, well, it's for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's for
fine.
Life, not just for Christmas, you know, all that.
It's
free hit. It's like, right, it's gone badly. That's it. It's dead. You're dead to me now. But so the point is I was really stressed and making changes to the team. I am fairly pleased, actually, in many ways. I think there are a number of players in there that I'm a little bit disappointed with. So... Moreno going off the minute after the goal was conceded.
That's a hard one to take.
Like, oh, that's a shot to the heart. You took great pleasure in telling me that had happened as well, didn't you? obviously, Trent getting an assist is great. My going back to the double Arsenal midfield, that worked on Friday evening, so that was good. Salah as captain, that was fine. Eze, that's what was contentious. I hadn't fully decided on whether to stick with him. I wanted Bowen as well. He was another option. I should have gone there.
Andreas 10, that's a hard one to swallow. Isn't it?
Andreas on the bench with 10. And I knew it as well. I said to you, didn't I? I'm benching Andreas. I don't want to.
It was Leeds, wasn't it?
It's Leeds.
It was Leeds.
And I
should have just known it.
And I think the Eze recent week's history.
Bit of recency bias creeping in.
Yeah, maybe. And
we all had it.
And I probably should have thought, and also it was Everton, so I thought, you know, they're rubbish defensively, so we'll go there. I was surprised Ollie Watkins didn't return. I expected a return from him against Brentford. And then obviously Jesus with the blank, I was really surprised about. Maybe on reflection, I should have looked at going with Jota, but I wasn't certain. I didn't feel...
You can't regret the Jesus decision, in
my opinion.
No, because
absolutely
not. Again, looking at the scout members area, he's top for XG underachievers, and you didn't need the stats to tell you that, when you looked
absolutely
at the game.
And it was Southampton, so I was not going to go without him.
Yeah, XG delta of 1.14, should have scored.
But his was the position that was up for grabs because I was always having Kane and I was always having Watkins. So it was just that Jesus position. And it was only really Jesus or Jota. They were the only two that I looked at. And I didn't really fancy Jota because I felt that there was enough uncertainty.
Well, yeah, and I was peddling a bit of that. I mean, Saturday
you
last Sunday.
You peddled a lot of it.
Yeah, honestly, I was like, you know, he's put in a shift against Leeds. I remember telling you during the week, he's put in a shift there. And I reckon this is more of a Darwin game against Forest.
Yeah, you told
and
me
it
that
wasn't,
a lot.
It wasn't until that Klopp press conference where I was like,
And I didn't see you after that, to be fair, because I'd gone out with my mum for the day and we'd gone to the theatre in the evening. And I was just
Even then, I was like, I'm off of Darwin, but I don't know if I'm on Jota.
No, I know, yeah.
But so, yeah, if you went with Jota on the free hit, fair play.
So, I think it's about 8K of Green Arrow. So it's not an insignificant number. And it's, you know, it's a climb nonetheless. And I think going into the next game week, I've got more potential benching headaches with, like I had with Andreas this week. But... I didn't fancy Newcastle to keep a clean sheet, so I benched Trippier. I do feel a little bit
jam.
No, I don't feel jammy. It's not jam. I feel 6-1. A little bit. I feel a little bit relieved that he didn't get an attacking return, because that was my concern.
Six goals, no involvement for Trippier.
I thought,
and the clean sheets wiped out with a consolation goal from a striker you've got. That's jam.
I don't think keeping Harry Kane is jammy.
It's jam.
I think that's just sensible for the people that sold him. You're idiots. That's not aimed at you guys, that's just aimed at this one. And yeah, no, I think, look, it is what it is. I just didn't fancy the clean sheet to stick. I thought we would go and score, which is why I play Kane over Trippier. But when they were scoring six goals, every time one went in, I was like, oh, who got the assist? And every time it wasn't Trippier, I was like, oh my God, a bullet has been dodged. Green Arrow, we take it, we move on. Yeah. And I feel like you're disappointed with your free hit, Green. But yeah. I don't feel the same. I just feel like, yeah, it's another Green, let's go.
Yeah, no, it's good. A little bit, yeah. So here's me, 68 points up to 58K, which again, yeah, listen, it's about 8-10K rank rise. So I'm not upset about it. Talking about jam, did have a little bit myself because Madison didn't play.
But why did you go?
Well,
without Pereira.
The reason I went for Willian over Pereira was a classic bit of overthinking, right? So I'm looking at my free hit team towards the end of the week and I'm like, oh, that's a bit template.
But Andreas Pereira's not template.
But the rest of it is. Look at it. That free hit is the free hit that everyone had. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, yeah, where's my fun there? Where's my fun? So I was like, right, I'm going to have fun on my bench. I'm going to put Pedro Porro there for absolutely no reason. And I'm going to put
stop.
I've got Pedro Porro in. Did you not know that?
Stop. Rewind.
Glad he didn't get on.
Pedro Porro.
I don't know. I was just like, stick him in. Why not?
What on earth went through your mind?
Didn't think he was ever going to play. Anyway, so he was in my team. And I was just like, do I go for Andreas or Willian? And I looked at my team, I was like, that is so template. If I put Andreas in there as well, I'm the most boring FPL manager in the world. I'm going to go for Willian. Why not? So I did. And yeah, shouldn't have, because Andreas got 10 and Willian got 5.
And actually, if we talk about jam, that is jammy, because Madison would have blanked.
No, he wouldn't. He'd have taken a penalty.
Oh, my God. He'd have missed it.
Shut up.
Madison's terrible. Why have you called Madison anyway?
Don't give me that rubbish. The reason I went Madison was because I felt... Dean Smith's first home game. He comes into the club. They've got to play City straight away. No expectation to win.
Yeah.
Home game against Wolves. There's an expectation, right? And he was all through the week. He was right. I want the crowd to be with us, etc., etc., etc. And they did. They won. So don't tell me that Madison wouldn't have got any points, because I think he would. Now, fair play to Castagne owners. If you brought in Castagne,
Harry.
Well done. That's absolutely brilliant, because again, that's only his second goal this season, but the underlying stats were kind of suggesting he was thinking about getting into those sort of positions.
Pedro Porro, I can't get over this.
For him to pop up with the winner was brilliant. So I went with Madison in the end, rather than an Eze or an Elise. So I think I made the right decision there. And I just thought, Willian, he was like 0.5 EO. I was just like, well, if he gets a goal, I'm laughing.
But
he got Andreas, that's all right.
But Andreas got a goal.
Yeah, whatever.
You'd have been in the top 50K if you'd have had Andreas.
Yeah, whatever. Well, anyway, there's my very template-looking team. Not much else to say other than... Yeah, the Trippier's a bit annoying, especially because it was Kane. The front three, I mean, a lot... I'm going to go out there and say most free hitters this week would have gone with Jesus, Watkins, Solanke. That was the template front three, I think.
I know
you're turning
Solanke.
Your nose up at it, but if you go on Twitter...
I know it was. Right? I just never understood the Solanke thing.
And it just never worked, did it? It didn't happen.
None of them. And you wouldn't rewind to Friday morning. And yeah. I think I'm not surprised about Solanke, but I would have been really surprised to see a Jesus and Watkins blank.
Yeah, yeah.
Really surprised.
The only striker that really featured in a lot of free hit teams, I think, was Isak. I don't think Jota, if you brought Jota in, fair play. Great shout.
That Isak appeared in that many free hit teams. I think he's appeared in a lot of non-free hit teams because a lot of people had him historically.
Yeah.
I think he would have potentially been
A couple of the Iheanachos out there, so well done if you had Iheanacho.
There's a few out there, but anyway, the template free hit front three just sank like a stone. Jesus, Watkins, Solanke, absolute nightmare. But overall, it's green, so we ain't moaning, right? And we're moving on to next week. What does your team look like for next week, just to wrap up on that? What's your game week 33 team? I actually haven't done a what's it for this, so we're going to both look at our phones now and have a look at what our bus teams look like for next week. Here's mine. So my game week 33 team coming back in. So yeah, look, there's my three Brighton coming back in against Forest away. I got my Stupinan.
So what is your team currently bus team set up as? Read it out.
So bus team for game week 33 is Raya back in goal away at Chelsea. Double Newcastle defence, Trippier and Botman, which against Everton doesn't seem too bad actually. Estupinan. And then my midfield is Grealish, McAllister, Mitoma, Rashford. And then Haaland, captain, Kane and Watkins up front. My bench is my Arsenal players. Listen to this for a bench. De Gea, Saka, Chilwell and Gabriel. How's that for a bench?
It's not dissimilar to mine.
Go on then.
So I'm still debating whether I should play Everson over Edison this week. Everson's got Leeds and Edison's obviously got Arsenal. But at the moment, Edison's in the bus team.
Mm.
Back three of Trippier, Estupiñán and Trent. Midfield.
Got Trent in already, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, jealous. Yeah, jealous. Go on.
A midfield four exactly the same as yours. Rashford, Grealish, McAllister and Mitoma. And then a front three exactly the same as yours with Kane, Watkins and Haaland as captain. So the only real difference in our team is Trent and Botman and the goalkeepers.
That's it.
And then
Your bench of Saka as well?
I have a bench of Saka. Tyrone Mings, who I desperately want to play against Fulham.
You've got to play Mings.
How?
Got to.
Who? I have to bench Kane to play Mings.
Do it.
Oh, shut up. I'm going to Spurs. I'm not benching Kane when I'm at Spurs. Stop it. And Gabriel.
Yeah.
And potentially Edison if I decide to play Everson. What is my life?
Mings at home to Fulham.
I'm not benching Harry Kane.
That's clean sheet.
At a game that I'm going to be. Can you imagine me turning up at Spurs on Thursday night?
I thought you had this rule where you captain the Spurs player if you go and see them. Are you going to captain Kane next
week? I have this rule that I captain a player I'm going to watch
when
the team aren't in disarray.
There's a caveat to that rule, which is the team have to not be utter trollops.
The other thing is that I'm going basically to torture myself on Thursday evening at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. There best be donuts, guys, at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, because I'm going to need about five of them in order to survive that match.
Wow.
If anyone sees me, just, you know, come and give me a hug. I'm probably going to need it.
You've got to hope that United are still knackered from their 120 minutes from today. Because...
Is it really bad that I was hoping that they'd all, like, get the flu this week? If they could all get the flu this week but be back for game week 34's double, that would be ideal.
If it makes you feel any better, Duncan is the same as you. He's got Ming's second bench now.
I have two, Duncan. I just don't know what my life has become.
Yeah, difficult. Well, there we go, guys. That is it for another FPL family. Thank you for joining us this evening. Sam, what is coming up this week?
Oh my gosh.
As well as two FPL game week deadlines before we next see you here on FPL Family next Sunday. It's going to be a busy week.
It is such a busy week for us. So tomorrow, there'll be an Ohana podcast for the patrons ahead of game week 33.
Bonus Ohana.
Yes. As well as a official FPL pod where we'll be joined by Harry. And I am so excited to be joined by Harry.
Is Harry coming on the official pod?
Yeah, Harry's...
This is it now. He's going, like, he'd be on everything now, won't he? Is he 200
So
rank?
To be fair, Harry's been scheduled to do this pod for ages.
What a legend.
So it just so happens that he's like green.
I'll tell you what, he was so good on off the bench last week because you just knew he wanted to, like, go, I bought in Solanke I'm just so good because I've wanted Solanke. And he just did it. He's such a humble, nice guy.
Yeah, but what's he going to do this week? He's got to talk about Castagna on his free hit, hasn't he, as well?
You have Castagna? Oh my God, this guy.
Yeah.
Just ask him what moves he's doing and copy it. He's so good at it.
So we've got Harry on the official pod tomorrow. And then, because there's no off the bench this week, so we've got two official podcasts. So there'll be another official podcast on
Friday.
Oh, there
he is in the chat. There he is, Harry.
There'll be another
What's your rank, Harry? Put it in the chat.
I think it's 202.
And then everybody get the hell off of this channel and go and follow Harry because, oh my God, 200.
There'll be another official podcast on Friday to prep for Game Week
Bloody
34.
Bloody hell, is there any day you're not podcasting?
And there'll be another Ohana on Friday to prep for 34.
You're going to tell me we're on Sky Sports on Saturday,
and
aren't?
We're on Sky Sports on on Saturday. And I'm at Spurs on Friday night, or Thursday night, and there's something else I was going to say. And I've got two Zoom Patreon calls in this week as well.
Wow.
So if anyone sees me at Spurs, I'll be maybe asleep if we're really boring and in need,
of a
hug.
You need that sugar high, the donuts.
Buy me a donut, come and give me a hug. And for God's sake, don't put Pedro Porro in your team.
When I look back at this season and I get like, you know, like sometimes FPL has that kind of like review of the season. It's going to be, you know, here's all the players you had. Oh, I know what you're going to look at.
Do you know, I was just looking up there and thinking, the good team on paper guys, when they email us at the end of the season, like, you're going to have Pedro Porro in
yours. They're
going
to be like, would you like another one of these pictures where it tells you all the players you had in your team? I'm going to be like, yes, please, guys, that'd be very nice. And I'm going to be like, Pedro Porro, -1. That was his net contribution to my FPL team this season. -1.
It would only have been made better if he'd have come on.
Put me in, there's a bit of a laugh. I need to come on. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, guys, that is it. Busy week, right? Do not miss the deadline on Tuesday. Like I was going to before I spoke to you earlier in the
good
day.
Good job that you're married to me, isn't it?
Good job I'm married to an FPL expert because...
Were you married to Harry then?
Yes, right, sorry. Yeah, yeah, correct. Yeah, so don't miss Tuesday's deadline. And then, well, you know it better than I do. What's the deadline after that? Saturday, I assume,
when
because
we're
on Sky,
right?
Yeah, so you've got a Saturday morning deadline of 11 o'clock, as usual. We'll be back this time again next Sunday at the usual time of 8:30 when we will have had Game Week 33. We'll have had...
Midway through 34.
34 will be underway, but not finished. So Christ knows what our overall ranks are going to be. It's going to be carnage this week. Harry's going to win this thing because... he's a legend and he just is now going to win this thing.
Well, he can't rely on Chelsea to win anything, so he's got to win it himself.
It'll soften the blow when Chelsea get relegated.
Chelsea aren't going to get relegated. He hasn't got to worry about that at least. They are safe.
I don't know, are they? Have they got 40 points? I'm not sure they have.
Oh, stop it. They must be... How many points have they got?
Just saying.
They must be mathematically safe.
I don't think they're mathematically safe yet, Chelsea. I don't know why we're having this conversation. Guys, leave us a like before you go. Podcasters, thank you for all the listeners on the podcast. We've had such a good response to the voice notes.
I'm
telling you, they're not safe, Chelsea. They're not safe, Chelsea. Podcasters, thank you for listening. YouTubers, thank you for tuning in again to FPL Family. Leave us a like before you go. Subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you this time next week when anything could have happened over the course of the next week. Anything could have happened. I might even have Pedro Porro. See you soon, guys.